One of the things that's been in the news of late, and a lot, is the player behaviour in the National Rugby League. There's been Dylan Napa now, depending on which way you read it, it's been the victim of someone releasing videos. The age of the videos is not yet determined.
What's the motive behind that, James? It's years ago.
Yeah, I know.
It said videos plural now. It's just... seriously.
Well, it makes you take stock, I guess, and think a little before you act. And always, it comes back to that thing you're going to be telling your kids at a time when whatever you post on social media is there forever.
Yep.
It's there. Now, he didn't post this on willingly on social media, but it's there now because it's recorded. So those are the things that, as young sports people, whether you agree or not, whether it's an invasion of privacy or not, the legalities around it all, you must be aware of that you are vulnerable to that type of situation.
What about the poor young lady in the video?
I understand.
She wasn't even aware it was being shot. That's disgraceful.
And that's not disgraceful. That's illegal.
That too, yeah.
So there's a separate issue that comes into play as well. 1353 53, the open line number. Let's get to Zorba. He's got lots to say on the game itself. We always enjoy it. He's back for another year, and we'll be talking just after 8 o'clock every week. He's on now. G'day, Zorb.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Ray.
Morning,
yeah, it's
Pete.
A problem, isn't it? It's not going to happen anytime soon, but I think it's time right now that rugby league clubs showed some pride and treated their organisations like the workplace they are.
Mm.
I mean, you know, they're employing upwards of 50 people in some places, and of course you've got your fans, you've got your sponsors, you've got your logo, you've got your history. And I just think the first step now, before any player is signed to a club, there should be some due diligence done on players signed. And a no dickhead policy should be introduced by all clubs who care. Now, I know as soon as a really talented player comes on the market, they really don't care if they've got a history of issues.
Mm.
Right across the clubs in the off-season, players have splashed their clubs' logos and reputations all over the media with poor decisions on behaviour. Some, like Dylan Napa, have yet to play for their club. Now, guilty or not guilty, he's brought an unwelcome spotlight on a club that's already reeling from Mad Monday 2018. Lynn Anderson and the board swept into power on the back of bringing the old Canterbury Bulldogs family values back to Belmore. Well, that simply hasn't happened in the opening 12 months, has it? Maybe boards should be better represented on the recruitment panels and the CEOs, the football managers, held a little bit more accountable. And I really don't like the veiled suggestions today that there's something sinister at play here in this Bulldogs issue, and the finger's being pointed at former board members.
Mm.
Hard to believe that they would dig up anything to the likes of what we've seen in the last week. I mean, I think that's far-fetched.
Let's hope so.
You couldn't think people would stoop that low, Zorb,
yeah. No,
surely.
You wouldn't think so. And I just hope that this whole issue, and, you know, I feel sorry for Dylan Napa, what goes on behind closed doors and should stay there.
Mm.
But as you mentioned at the head of this segment, life's not the same anymore.
No.
For young sports people, male or female, coming through.
Exactly. One thing it doesn't change is Cameron Smith. He just keeps on keeping on. So everyone thought he would, as expected, sign on again for a couple more years with the Melbourne Storm. Potentially, he'll go to 400 NRL games later this season.
Mm.
An extraordinary feat for a man who basically, Zorb, plays every minute of a football game. He's not the biggest bloke in the field. He's right in the middle of the ruck tack and the big forwards. It's been remarkable how his longevity.
I don't think I won't be around to see it eclipsed. It will be the benchmark for, I think, ever in the game whilst we retain the number of teams that we have now, if you look at it. Cameron Smith's new two-year deal with the Storm, with no rep football,
yeah.
He's set to become the first player to play 400 first-grade games. Now, think about that for a moment. He turns 36 in June. He's about to start his 18th year in first grade. That means if you play for 20 years at 20 games a year, and you have to be you have to be fairly robust to do that in this day and age.
Absolutely.
That'll give you 400 games. I can't see it being eclipsed by anybody in the future. He's a freak. He's a goat in terms of greatest of all time, I think, in terms of durability and just being able to keep playing at the level he's played. Now, it's an incredible feat, and I think we all should embrace it. He's a future immortal. He's the best in his position. He holds records galore in every section of the game. Interesting, while he continues his great career, we see his former great teammate start a new career.
Yeah.
And how sensible has Billy Slater been in planning his future? And other rugby league players in the game that have got the longevity of Billy Slater should be looking at going down a pathway which he will enjoy, which he will make good money out of. Sold his first bred horse at the sales on the Gold Coast this week. $180,000, Ray.
He's done it right, hasn't he?
He has. I mean, he's hopped straight out of rugby league, and within 6 months of retirement, he's showing that he's planned his future. I think it's sensational. And out of all of the sad stories coming out of the game, here is one that is just filled with pride. And congratulations to him and to his management, who have obviously helped. And while we're talking about clubs, I've had a bit of a go at Canterbury. I want to have a go at Newcastle now. It's another club which needs a good look at itself. For months now, we've heard how the big stick will be out for players who do the wrong thing. Yet almost weekly in Newcastle, there are reports of player misbehaviour, mainly stupid, arrogant actions like fighting outside pubs or allegedly slapping a Uber driver. It has to stop. And clubs have got to stop threatening players and show them the door. They've got to get serious before the players realise they are serious. And another club is the Cronulla Sharks. I mean, they were the pride of the Shire a few seasons back with a tough, uncompromising style of play and the capacity to fill its ground with fans. They brought their club the first premiership, the glory of that, but it's been downhill ever since then. And they're now a club in crisis in every way, with management struggling to get things right. To have the club with a blanket ban from another local licensed club is the last straw. I mean, they're the pride of the Shire, but they're not, obviously, at the Cronulla Sailing Club. Changes have to be made to change the attitude of the players, and maybe some players need to be moved on. I reckon the first step should be to install a new leader to show the way for new standards, and my man to do that job, which would probably surprise a lot of people because he's quietly spoken, is the halfback or 5'8" and local junior Chad Townsend. He's a Sharky through and through. He had to leave the club after being an absolute star junior. He was virtually shown the door, had to go over to the Warriors to get his reputation that he was an NRL player. He's a family man. He's inspiring. As I said, he had to leave and come back to be appreciated. If I was Johnny Morris, I would make him captain and I would start to set some new standards because, geez, they need them there at the Sharks at the moment.
Just on that, Zorb, I totally agree with you. There needs to be, for want of a better term, a line in the sand where certain behaviours aren't accepted. But in saying that, the clubs need support from the NRL so that if they cut a player loose, that they're not just picked up by the opposition 3 weeks later.
That's what we've been talking about. I mean, at the moment, they will just pick players up. They don't seem to care about what their fans think.
Some do.
And those are the clubs that have got to be replicated by the others. You want to get up to the standard of the top clubs. And there are some clubs that are caring about that. And also, the clubs have got to start to show a little bit of love back. I mean, clubs fall in and out of love so quickly with players. I mean, if the reports are correct, and I'm sure they are, because I've looked into it, Parramatta are showing no love to their premiership centre, Michael Jennings. Now, they went after him hard from the Roosters. He's a Western Sydney boy. He was happy to go back to the West. He's been shopped around because the Eels want to free up $800,000 a year that he's on for the next 2 years. And there's been some suggestions that he'll go back to Wentworthville. Well, The Eels went hard after Jennings to snare him, and now they want to shift him with suggestions that that move is on. I hope Jennings digs his heels in, and at the money he's on, I think he will. I think he just goes to Wentworthville, and if they want to park him there, well, park him there. I think that this is going to blow up in a big way.
Well, he's taken the option, hasn't
well,
he?
Well, hang on. I'll put it to you this way. Yeah, he took up the option. This is the final year of his contract. So this is the last time they'll have to pay. Would you pay $800,000 for Michael Jennings?
Well, clubs won't.
No. What would you pay for Michael Jennings?
Oh, I think he's just short of that, 700.
Oh.
Well, he's an international player.
Either way,
he's a premiership winning player.
That was 5 years ago, six years ago.
Yeah, but he's still as good as what they've got at Parramatta. I reckon there's some other players there that should be moved on before he is.
I think they're
a real worry. I can see some problems there for them. I mean, they've got a great new ground to be opened in the coming months.
Yes,
they've got a great Leeds club support, but they seem to be in disarray. Their coach is walking the tightrope. They've got a massive junior area which they've neglected in a lot of ways.
Yes,
their buying has been poor.
Yes,
there's a lot of question marks on Parramatta at the moment.
Most definitely. New football manager in there, Mark O'Neill. So he's been charged with the job of, along with a lot of other people in bringing the club forward. It's going to be fascinating to see what happens. If Parramatta are 2-6 or 2-7, whether Brad Arthur retains his position.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough start to the year for them. I mean, they don't have a bad roster. They've got rid of Corey Norman, which I don't think will... I think that will be a struggle for St George to get him to play the football that they're paying him to play. I can see problems at both clubs next season. Yeah. They're not going to be in my top eight, either of those clubs.
The Dragons?
The Dragons, no way.
All right. Okay. All right. We'll get that a little bit later on. Ray Thomas is just picking himself up off the floor here. So you've upset him.
Everyone's entitled to an opinion.
I gave my top eight, and I'm not going to change. Yep. It's Roosters, Penrith, Broncos, Storm, Rabbitohs, Knights, Cowboys, and either Raiders or Sharks for eight. So I don't have them in there.
Mm.
And I don't have Para anywhere near it.
Well, I'm just looking at Para's. Panthers first up. Mm. Bulldogs
at
second.
At Penrith.
Mm. Roosters third. Sharks round four. Raiders round five in Canberra. West Tigers round six. That's the first game at Bankwest Stadium. Knights away. And then Dragons at home, round eight.
Tough draw. Then Storm round nine.
That'd be interesting. Good on you, Zorb. We'll speak again next week.
Okay, boys.